Well, we are now in the month of March, and this month of March is named after the Roman god Mars. He is the Roman god of war. And such was the importance given by the Romans to warfare. Mars, in their pantheon, was second only in importance to their chief god, Jupiter. And that shows how war-oriented the Romans were. And if you study history, you cannot study it without, at some points or in many points, you will see war as moving the progress and retrogress of history. And anytime there is war, we are not just talking of conflicts. A war will also be a time of creating alliances. And your ally in times of warfare can spell victory or defeat. And what is true of history of nations is also true of personal life. There's a saying, tell me your friends, and I will tell you who you are. Sabihin mo kung sinong mga malapit mong kaibigan, at sinasabi nito ang uri ng pagkatao mo. And one of the key questions to determine the character of a person and the quality of life he lives is ask about his company. Ask about his closest friends. And I thought it would be a good follow-up series to the one we had last month when we addressed the subject of attractive wickedness in the person of Jezebel, in which we were given warnings against some kind of company that may be attractive but may set Christians for destruction. So here we are dealing with a more positive principle of scriptures. Of what sort should we seek as our company, our friends, ultimately our intimate and partner? Can we simply leave this to our personal preferences? And if we do, it will often become a standard of good feel good measure. And as we have seen in the case of Jezebel, a feel good measure will be a formula for disaster. Well, fortunately for us, we have God's wisdom to rely upon. And that is the revealed wisdom in the wisdom literature in the Bible. And I will draw my thoughts mainly from the book of Proverbs, corroborated by other parts of the scriptures, but mainly from the book of Proverbs. And we need to be reminded again of the nature of biblical wisdom. Pag sinabi nating karunungan na mula sa Biblia, iniiba po iyan sa mga pangako. Ang pangako ay ang siguradong pagpapabor ng Diyos kapag ating ginawa ang kanyang hinihingi na kondisyon. It is an absolute pledge of God's favor. Wisdom is not promise. What we have in wisdom is how God has built into providence certain mechanisms of action and result. But then, there can be anomalies. In other words, a certain action normally or ordinarily will lead to certain results, but there can be an anomaly in which the action does not lead to that. So we are dealing with general principles, something that happened generally but not absolutely. But that is still, of course, a very important guideline for us. If I ask you, who do you consider your closest friends? Well, let me guess. He or she may be of same age bracket, same gender, same likes and preferences. You love to talk of the same subjects, perhaps share similar hobbies and interests. In other words, you're describing vibes, not biblical friendship. So what is biblical friendship? Well, let me draw from one of the most concise statements of the Word of God concerning friendship, that is in Proverbs 18 and verse 24. Proverbs 18 and verse 24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, like many in Proverbs, this is a standalone text. Well, Proverbs is the one place where you can look at a text and not many are in a context that is significant to its interpretation. So this is a text to be understood on the meaning of its words. And as you can see, the proverb is a contrast. Two opposite pictures of a person with company, one is negative and the other is positive. But it gives us a clear commendation of good and edifying friendship. And my message is this: constancy is the commendation of a genuine and edifying friendship. Ang pagpapatuloy ang siyang pinaparangalan na tunay at nakapagpapatibay na pagkakaibigan. Constancy is the commendation of a genuine and edifying friendship. Now, it is fair to ask, who is this man telling us this principle? He is Solomon, and this is part of the Proverbs of Solomon. What does he know about relationship? Well, let me just tell you one thing the Bible tells us about Solomon in 1 Kings 11:3. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. Well, is that qualification enough to have so many? Of course, many of these marriages were of political convenience. In other words, Solomon married these women. Most probably, he would not even see them a second time after the marriage because of political alliances. That's the way it was done in ancient times. But even with those many relationships, Solomon still singled out one as his friend, something that will skip you, I'm sure, when you are reading through scriptures. But it is said in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 5, Zabud, the son of Nathan, was priest and the king's friend. So can you imagine this man who had all the companions he needed in his harem of 700 wives and 300 concubines, all the kinds of relationships he could muster, and yet he still needed that one he can call my friend. And that tells you that this is a universal need of all men. If a man of wisdom like Solomon, of power and wealth like him, and with so many in relation to him, still needed to single out this man, then it must be a need even of a Solomon. Kailangan ito ng lahat. Hindi ito kailangan ng ilang uri lamang ng personalidad. Ngunit sabihin nila may personalidad na mas gusto niyang magsarili. Hindi totoo yan. Ang bawat tao nilalang na kailangan ng isang relasyon na malapit. So Solomon knew by sad experience what relationship can do, of what sort they are. And this text in Proverbs 18:24 is his conclusion from knowing who were genuine and who were not, and it applies to us in our own ways of friendship. So let us look at two contrasting pictures. The first is company out of favor, ang pagsasamahang dahil sa pakinabang. Company out of favor, and secondly, friendship that is constant, ang pagkakaibigan na nagpapatuloy. Friendship that is constant. First then, in the first line of Solomon's parallel, he mentions a picture, or he describes a picture of friendship that can only be described as company, a friendship that is dictated by favor. Now, most of the relationships Solomon entered into were for favor. One reason would be to turn a potential enemy into an ally by marrying the daughter of a king. And by marrying the daughter of a rival king, that becomes automatically an alliance. And it is wise and convenient in those times to have such alliances. So he would have seen many of these alliances and company forged in mutual favor. Nagkaroon siya ng maraming relasyon, maraming mga kaibigan na dahilan sa pakinabang. Makikinabang sila sa isa't isa. And he is well within his experience to conclude, favor seekers are not reliable as a company. Or another way of putting it is, friends for favor are not friends in need. Ang mga kaibigan dahil sa pakinabang ay hindi mapapatunayang kaibigan sa panahon ng pangangailangan. Solomon said, a man of many companions may come to ruin. And he knows what he speaks of. He had many companions. The NIV translates these many companions as unreliable friends. And I think that is the more exact translation. These are unreliable. Solomon, in his power and fabulous wealth, would not have run out of people who are willing to be counted as Solomon's friends. But he has learned that many of these friends are attracted to his favors as a wealthy man, let alone a powerful king. And whereas as a king, he would have observed in his kingdom many of the poor who are without any friend. And he said so in many proverbs. In 14:20, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He follows this with 19:4, wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friends. And I can imagine Solomon in one of his court gatherings and banquets, perhaps. And as he enjoyed the company of many who attended the banquet, he would look into his window, out of his window, and see the places where the poor lived, and they lived alone. No banquets that he enjoyed. And so he made this observation in his Proverbs. Why is a wealthy man like me? I will never run out of companions. I will never run out of friends. And yet there are people I can see from my window who have never had such friends. So Solomon would have witnessed flatterers around him. But as flatterers do, they only wait for some favor to be dispensed. And again, he makes this observation in 19:6. Many seek the favor of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. Now, this is not a description of the wealthy enclaves in Forbes Park or Das Marinas. This is ancient time, and even then Solomon observed how easy for a generous man to get the company he wants. Now, as part of his kingly duties, Solomon had to adjudicate cases of conflict between his subjects. And again, he makes his observation, 19:7, all a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words but does not have them. So he probably had those times of adjudicating cases. You had an example of that when two mothers were in conflict and presented to Solomon whose baby it was, because both were claimants. Well, there were plenty of that in the duty of a king. And so he would have observed many situations when there was a poor man in his adjudication and no one would stand as witness for him. And whereas if the other side is a rich man, he would have many witnesses and friends of the court on his behalf. And as a wise man, Solomon could see, it's so easy for a rich man to have friends, to have companions. And we must agree to this radically honest assessment of the state of friendship that is in the world. But of course, if it is a friendship out of favor, when a greater favor presents itself, then that friend will leave the former friend for a greater favor. One of the most pained questions in literature is in William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, where he tells the story of Caesar when he was assassinated in the Senate, when he was just sitting, and then all the senators conspired to stab him. And as he was reeling from the stabbing of the senators, the next person who stabbed him was the most painful. And those words in literature have become proverbial for the pain of lost friendship. Et tu, Brute? You too, Brutus? Brutus was his close friend, but now, as a senator, he wanted political favor that Caesar could not give. And he was one of those who stabbed his supposed friends. That's friendship that is based upon favor. And so you see, if you are to be ready for biblical friendship, friendship that is edifying, my challenge is measure God's grace as the greatest favor beyond any man to give. Sukatin mo ang biyaya ng Diyos na pinakamalaking pabor na hindi mabibigay ng sino mang tao. I state the challenge this way as a warning against befriending someone for the sake of favor. Baka ikaw naman ang gustong makipaglapit sa isang tao dahil may pabor kang nakukuha sa kanya. If this is your idea of friendship, well, that is the kind of friends you will find for your company. Whereas the true friend is God, who calls one of his servants, Abraham, as his friend. And because of the favor he gave, that cannot be matched by any friend in this world. Listen to James 2:23. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So when God decided to have by grace a relationship with Abraham, Abraham was from a land of idolatry, from Ur, but God decided to call this man his friend, so he justified him. And Abraham responded in faith, and as a fruit of faith, works followed. And that's the picture of a friend favored by God. And the question that must come to you is, are you a friend of God in terms of that favor of justification beyond any man could give? Hindi may bibigay ng sino mang tao. And that is the reason why I assert that Christians must build their closest relationship upon the foundation of the favor of grace. Kailang itayo ng Kristiyano ang pinakamalapit niyang mga pagkakaibigan sa pabor ng biyaya, sapagkat kung hindi, maggagamitan lang ang mga magkakaibigan na naghahanap ng pabor sa kanyang tinatawag na kaibigan. You must seek for your closest of friends, those who know this favor of God, meaning friends of God themselves, Christians. And Solomon should know, what did his wives do to him? Going back to 1 Kings 11:3, we are told his wives turned away his heart. He began to indulge in idolatry. Now, this could not be for lack of knowledge. We're talking here of Solomon, the wisest of men. But it shows the power and influence of company. When that company extends to you a favor that is irresistible, and you accept that favor, next to accepting that favor is compromise. This was what Abraham had in mind as God's friend when the king of Sodom, after he rescued Lot, the king of Sodom offered to him favor. This is Abraham's answer to him in Genesis 14, 22 and 23. I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. So Abraham was cautious, wary of the possible favor coming from an unbeliever, from a city of sin, and he refused because he knew that next to accepting that favor is compromise. And beware of favors that will lead you to compromise. I do not mean that we refuse all favors from unbelievers, but there will be such favors tending to compromise. We can be friends and in company with unbelievers. We should. But let your closest ones be Christians if you are a Christian. Beware, and again, I direct this to young people, if you are expressing your innermost feeling, your innermost soul to an unbeliever, because you get favor from him or her, the favor of sympathy, you are a candidate for compromise and for falling away. You do not need any favor from unbelievers that will undermine the grace of God to your soul. And there will be such friends who are there out of favor. Don't rely on them. I don't mean you kick them out, but do not rely on them. They are just there for favor. One of the closest friends initially of Martin Luther was Andreas Karlstadt. In fact, when Luther was forced to be in hiding, when the authorities were in hot pursuit of him, he left his work to the leadership of Karlstadt. But Karlstadt was without the wisdom of Martin Luther. He probably was intoxicated by the fact that the leadership now fell on him, and he just began doing things very unwisely and began to destroy the work rather than build it up. And Martin Luther had to break relationship with him, and Karlstadt turned against Luther when Luther refused to endorse his methods. And there's something that happens even in Christians. While favor is extended, friendship seems to thrive. And when out of principle, you cannot endorse, you cannot favor, and we will see this in the third message, that biblical friendship must wound. These friends out of favor will prove unreliable. And Solomon saw that there are those many companions, yet not reliable. So the second picture he gives us in the second line is friendship that is constant. In contrast with a multitude of friends, he singles out one. There is a friend. So multitude against one, and yet this one is of greater quality than the multitude. Why? Because this friend sticks closer than a brother. So friends whose constancy is proven in adversity are God's favor to be nurtured. Kapag may kaibigan ka na nakikiisa sa iyo hanggang sa mga kabigatan, ituring mo ito na pabor at pagpapala ng Diyos. This friend, in Solomon's description, sticks close. In Hebrew, when used literally, it is often in a construction context when one material piece is attached to another material piece so that they become inseparable and useful for whatever part of the building that's sticking close. In the figurative sense, this was used of the Israelites who, according to Deuteronomy 4:4, they held fast to the Lord God. And so they lived after the wilderness journey, unlike those generation that died in the wilderness who did not stick, who did not hold fast to the Lord God. Now, this is the friend, Solomon says, will stick closer than a brother. Why the comparison to a brother? Well, because this friend chooses it. A brother, we are told in Proverbs 17:17, is born for adversity. In other words, if he is to be a true brother, he has no choice when it comes to sticking to his brother. That's he's born into it. Whereas a friend, when he sticks, it's by his choice. And that makes it all the more precious when you stick. You know, we have a saying, you can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your relatives. In other words, the friend's commitment is a choice. So count it your favor from God if you are blessed with such a companion, even in times of adversity. Now, to illustrate this, since we've been talking about psychology this morning, let me share a psychological study done. I'm sure many of you have already heard of this. This was a psychological study which was dubbed as a study of perception. And they gathered 10 people, but the real truth is that it was a study in peer pressure. Only one was not in the plan all the other nine of the subjects were in to the plan. So they knew what was going on. So they were given several lines to determine which is the according to description. Well, the first three tests, they all said the same thing. So it built the confidence of the one subject of the 10. Well, the next, they were told to describe which is the longest. Now, each one began to point to an obviously wrong answer. And the last one was under pressure. And every time that they make the test, the 10th subject yielded. In other words, he said the same answer that was obviously wrong because the other nine said it. That's peer pressure. But then they varied it. The next study was still 10 subjects, but now of the nine, one was told to give the correct answer. So the 8 gave the obviously wrong answer, one gave the right answer, and so the one subject chose the right answer. What does that show? We usually give in to peer pressure unless we have someone along with us. If we have someone with us, even if there is peer pressure, we can stand. And that's the point of a friend. A friend who sticks with you in adversity, who stands by your principle, because you are both committed biblically. All you need is one, and you can stand against pressure. And so the challenge is, be such a friend for adversity and find such a friend ultimately in Christ. Hanapin mo ang maging kaibigan ka na para sa panahon ng kabigatan at hanapin mo yan sa pinaka-ultimo sa Panginoong Hesukristo. There is no greater friend by this measure than the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jesus himself who said in the upper room discourse, John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. That was exactly what Jesus was going to do on that night he was to be arrested. It is for your eternal interest to befriend him. If you do not have Christ for your friend as the one who laid down his life for you, whoever may be your company and friends in this world, it will be misery for you and with them. Until you have Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, and as your friend. And the closest people to Christ, therefore, are those who are his by redemption. And they join one another together by covenant in the church. So I say this to make the point that brethren within the same church must cultivate a friendship that can be described as constant. This is the reason why the membership of the church is covenant commitment, not mood. You do not do your duty as a member when you feel like doing it. It is covenant. And every time we have the Lord's Supper, as we will tonight, we renew our covenant, we recite it to say we sustain worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. And if we say that as a covenant promise, to break it is a serious sin of covenant breaking. That's the closeness that should prevail in the church. Now, think of a friend of yours who may now be in adversity. And how are you being a friend to him or to her? If you are not a friend in someone's adversity, how do you expect to have friends in adversity? Solomon again makes this point in another work in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 and following, where he said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You see the occasions when friendship is rewarding. When you toil, don't toil alone for yourself. Don't be selfish about the rewards of your toil. It must be in the context of company. When you fall, few can just raise themselves up. They need someone to lift them up. In times of coldness, and we can talk here of spiritual coldness, when it seems difficult to be warm in your faith, again, another, a company can warm you. And in times of conflict, Solomon said, two are better than one, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. He is simply saying, out of his wisdom, there is no such thing as I can be with myself. If that is your spirit, it is unbiblical, it is unchristian. From the very beginning of creation, God already said it is not good for man to be alone. And it is not just about marriage. We are built for companionship. We are built for relationship. That life is utterly lonely, that turns on self and treat others only to serve his own interest. Have someone you are willing to be with in adversity stick closer than a brother. Well, we talked of someone who turned against Luther. Well, someone who stuck with Luther through thick and thin was Philip Melanchthon. And where Luther was of a fiery personality, he described Philip Melanchthon. He said, Master Philip came gently and softly, sowing and watering with joy. And he was the exact personality that complemented Martin Luther. So don't think of the Reformation only as the campaign of theologians and preachers doing their task all by themselves. These were men who had friends. These were men who had companions. And if you have none, it is a defect in your life as a man, a woman, and in your life as a Christian. So find yourself such a friend. There will be such a friend. There should be such a friend in the church among brethren, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And ultimately, we must find that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been too busy with yourself and your ambition that you have no friendship? Well, re-examine your life. It may be that you think you are going up in your ambition. It's like going up, climbing the ladder, and only when you get to the top, you realize it is leaning on the wrong wall. And many live like that. They seem to be going up, but it leans on the wrong relationship. Well, let us have that relationship which the Bible tells us is of a friend who sticks closer than a brother and none better than the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us sing our last hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Tanggapin namin ang pagkalalang mo sa amin ay kasama ang magkaroon ng relasyon, magkaroon ng mga masasabi naming malapit na mga kaibigan. At naway ang kininamin ang karunungan na binahagi ni Solomon mula sa kanyang karanasan na ang karamihan ng mga kaibigan ay nagdadala lang sa pagkasira. Ngunit may kaibigan na mas malapit kaysa isang kapatid. So we pray, Lord, that we may know that kind of friendship that is constant, and because that friendship is one for adversity, not defined by favor, May we not allow favor to dictate our quest for relationships and for friends. Instead, may we build our sense of favor not on what man can do, but on what our God can do through the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it therefore make us realize that the best of friends a Christian should develop is with those who themselves are favored by grace. May we watch against the probability of sharing our innermost thoughts, our most important burdens on those who cannot share our faith. Instead, may we be such a friend that is for adversity, and then may you bless us with such friends of constancy in times of adversity. So we ask, Lord, that in those times when we are challenged by the world, when we are beset with our own struggles with sin, may we have such a companion and make this church a place where friendship is developed, not of the kind that is worldly, out of favor, but of the kind that is based upon grace and based on covenant commitment to one another. And as we find this friend ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ, may we have such friendship in our own lives, such relationship that is not based on sympathy and favor and not leading to compromise, but one that is mutually committed to the Word of God and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us with this message and challenge us and prepare us even for the Lord's Supper, where we will renew our covenant and make us honest in our covenant commitment one to another. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.